Here tonight. I'd like to start us off with number 240, The Way of the Cross. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know as we onward go that the way of the cross leads home. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know as we onward go that the way of the cross leads home. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the leads home. Oh, the way of the cross leads home. Yes, the way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know as we onward go that the way of the cross leads home. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for being here tonight, my God. Thank you for your spirit, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus, for this time together to worship you, God. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise him. You may be seated. Claudette? Praise God. I love that testimony. I want to thank him also today for just how beautiful a day it was today. It was so nice to have that sunshine and just thank him for that. Next we'll sing number 251, Reach Out and Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. So reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for this time to reach out. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, my God. Praise you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Praise you, praise you, Jesus.
Kirsten?
Praise God. I just have to add to that that my mom told me that the man showed up still in his church clothes, so he's not the only person who does project repairs in his church clothes like my husband does. You just never know if John's going to be fixing a car in his like nice church outfit, which praise God, he's always willing to jump in whenever something's needed. Let's sing number 311, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. Strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you so much, mighty God. Praise God. Next, we'll sing number 333, Where Could I Go?
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Could I go seek? seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. John has a special for us tonight.
Praise God. I just want to add my thanks to him tonight, and the song is called "Let the Redeemed," and there's a pre-chorus that says, "There's no sound louder than a captive set free," and just want to thank him for that freedom that we have in him, and I'm going to sing it tonight. I want you to sing with me if you want, if you know the words, and just worship God. Need a capo, sorry. He led me out of the desert, brought me into his stream, river of living water. Turn my bitter into sweet. All my burdens are lifted. Took my shackles off my feet. There's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. Life worth living, 'cause he calls me his own. There's a hallelujah after sweet victory. There's no sound louder than a captive set free. No, there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're my deliverer, in freedom I'm living in. You're my deliverer, you are my promised land. You're my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. You're my deliverer, you are my promised land. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let's sing number 207, Lead Me to the Rock.
When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me. A mighty tower from the enemy. A mighty tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter for me, a mighty tower from the enemy, a mighty tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Higher than I was been a shelter. A shelter for me, a mighty tower from the enemy, a mighty tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Praise. you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise God. You may be seated. Lori? Thank you. Praise God. We'll sing 247, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever.
Praise God. We'll sing one more song tonight. Take My Hand, Precious Lord.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Well, through the storm, on to the light, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. When I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on into the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on and help me stand. When I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn. And through the storm, through the night, lead me on into the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand when I'm tired. My hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God.
Praise God. If you'll all stand, we'll have the word of the Lord now.
Okay. Are we on? Yeah. All right. I have quite a few announcements up here. So I'll read the first one. And welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study at Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ in Soldotna, Alaska. We're glad you're all with us. So Sunday, November 6th, is our church family Thanksgiving dinner after service. So mark your calendars. And the church will provide the roast turkey, the mashed potatoes and gravy, and coffee. There's a list on the board for everyone to sign up to bring your favorite holiday side dish and dessert to share. And there's also a sheet to sign up to help with cleanup. We know how we love cleanup. Many hands make light work and great friends. So please sign up to help where you can. Looking forward to sharing this special time together with our family and God. It's always a very special time and a great time to invite people to come to church with you and enjoy a wonderful dinner afterwards. Also, our Search for Truth is October 26th, so mark your calendars for that. And some more mark your calendars. Church Banquet is coming up on December the 9th. And I will be collecting for that, and I also need to get a head count before collecting. So if you could let me know, everyone that's here tonight, if you're going to be able to attend the church banquet, how many will be in your family, your party, or you're bringing someone, or those that are online, please send me a text. I'd like to find out tonight because we need to submit the head count for the catering. So we need to know that right away. So please get with me tonight on that. And also another early reminder to mark your calendars for our Friday night prayer as a church body. That's October 28th at 7 p.m. It's the one time a month that we join together at 7 p.m. All the other Fridays, you can come whatever time you like. I know some of us are here at 5, some are here at 6, all different times. But once a month, as a church body, we gather together to pray together for that unity in prayer for other souls. Okay, I think that's all of them. No?
October 26th?
Is that what you said? That's a Wednesday. The 26th? Go for the 25th then. It's always on a Tuesday, so that's... mark those calendars. I'll put it out there on the door also, or I'll send you a text so we can definitely know what day to meet. Okay, so tonight we're in Acts chapter 14, and we are on question 11. And this is our last question for chapter 14. And we have new questions for chapter 15 are out on the podium in the entryway, and they'll also be posted online. Now, I've had a couple people tell me they couldn't find the questions online, so I printed out what our church website looks like. You're probably not going to be able to see this, but I just want to use this as a visual. When you go on the church website, And you are in the teachings, there's a drop-down box. You can go to all teachings. You can go to the Wednesday night archive to find the Bible study. Attached to the Bible study, you see these little boxes below. There's four boxes. One of them says PDF. And if you click on that, it will open to the questions. And you can also find them over here. I mean, there's different ways that you can access the Bible study. It's pretty simple once I went and started looking around. But on the Acts Bible study on the right side, which is another way to get in, is a little arrow. That's also the PDF. So if you're not here to get the questions, the hard copy, and you only can access it online, this is how to do it, PDF. And it's attached to every Acts Bible study link that's on our church website. So I'm pretty sure 15 isn't up yet. Am I correct, Max? But it will be.
Yes.
Okay. But I did go in and look at all the links to the Bible study, and chapter 14 questions were there. So it's a good way to, if you lost your questions or you just need to refresh your mind. Okay, so we're on question 11, and that question is, what is the importance of the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done through us, his disciples? And the scriptures for tonight are in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. Reading Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Now again, this last question is, what is the importance of the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done through us, his disciples? And I'm going to open that up to you. Tracy?
Well, I looked up the word testimony, and it's to be a witness, to testify literally or figuratively, to give evidence, to bear record, to be well reported of. And obviously when you're reading that, you can think of so many things that, in the Word of God, and I thought, of that saying that we've said before, that we may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. And we've also talked about the fact that as soon as you say that you're a Christian, people are watching you, your actions, reactions, or not reacting to something. And I also was thinking about the fact that our testimony is by our words and our actions. And we've brought up, I think Paul brought out Sunday about, so many people, and I know I felt the same way when I was looking for God. I was tired of hypocrites, people who said one thing and then you saw them act a totally different way. So just the importance of when we say we are a Christian, being that example, being that witness, when it talked about being well reported of, we know the scripture that says have a good report. And just, I think it's important for us to share with others our personal experience for what God has done in our lives. Just so that they know that that's available to them and you don't have to be the way that you were, or so many of us talk about just being unhappy or unfulfilled or feeling like there had to be more. And just a few scriptures that I had, one of them was in Acts, the first chapter, where it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then I had another one here, well, a couple in 1 Peter, the second chapter in the 21st verse. It says, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And I think if we follow his steps, that's what people will see in us. And then over in verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I thought that right there is our testimony. We should show it forth.
Praise God. One mind and accord. Claudette? You're reading my notes.
Well, in this particular passage, he's talking to the other people in the church, and I think of how excited you get when you start talking about God, and you can feel God, you know, when we're gathering together and, you know, drinking coffee or whatever we're doing. And I have a calendar that I read every day, and today's scripture, and right now I don't know where it is, but it was when two are gathered together, he is in the midst. And so to stir excitement up in the others so that they'll go out and be excited like you are about the things that God has done.
Amen. One mind and accord. Emily and then Jocelyn. I love it when God goes before and he just has the people teach. Oh, you got a fly there?
Yeah. So to offer yourself as a living example, a living testimony, a living sacrifice, I looked up 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses, to be holy and acceptable to God.
Praise God. And Emily.
Well, I'm sure that I've heard this scripture before, but just in the last couple of weeks, it was brought to my attention by a devotional that I do. And in Revelations chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And I know so many times in my life I have thought, like, Lord, why don't you lift this trial from me? You know, I'm praying to you. I'm asking you. Why don't you do it? And in retrospect, you can see how much we learn from every trial we go to and how much, for my own personal, every time I go through a trial, it draws me closer to God. And that's when I learn the most. And I just thought this was an excellent example of how important all of our triumphs and our victories and the things we've overcome to have that testimony. I mean, it says we're saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Just thought that was very powerful.
Very powerful. And it's one of my scriptures. Thank you. Janie?
I had three, and they already said them all, but it's okay. One was to encourage the brethren, like when we all stand up in church, and you might not know someone struggles with something just like you struggle with, and that's just really encouraging to see how God might work in their life through something that you are also struggling with. Another one is to show that we are set apart. It's really easy to see Christians who say they're Christians, but they're living like the world or acting like the world, and we have to show that we're set apart and that we have something different. And then the last one was to bring glory to God, because if we don't stand up and testify and say what God has done, then we're not really bringing any glory to him.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Paula?
Yeah, I wrote down quite a few things here, but I wrote like a personal testimony. It should be, you know, where you came from, what God's done for you. And you have to deliver it with excitement and joy, you know. They have to feel that Holy Ghost in you when you're talking to them. That's a testimony. It stirs up excitement in people. It gives them hope. I mean, you have to step out and let God just move through you so they can feel that. That's how, not only by our life, but our words, they can feel that excitement, and that's what we're talking about. Let's face it, there's the only hope anybody has is in God, and we're the ones that have to deliver that.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Anyone else? Don't want to miss a hand. All right. I just want to let you know, if you see me looking down at my phone, it's because I'm adjusting my hearing. So that's why I have my phone with me. I'm not on my phone checking messages. So, Rick, did you have something you wanted to add? No? Okay. All right. So that's why, if you see me look down, it's because I'm adjusting things. All right. So when everything... Tracy has my definition of testimony, and Emily has my scriptures, but there's more that I want to look at in these scriptures when I was studying it. And one of the first things I want to look at, in verse 26, it says that they had been recommended, and it's talking about Paul and Barnabas, had been recommended to go off and to do God's work. And it was amazing to me how God brought this to my mind right here during this Bible study, to see that even though that they were full of the Holy Ghost, they waited on God, and the leaders of that time were, or whatever church they were in Antioch, who had been fasting and praying before they went off to do God's ministry. And that is the way it's always done in God. There's an order, and God has it set up that way. So I want to look at that a little bit more. And that word, recommended, you know, I was thinking about that. How do we recommend someone? How would you recommend somebody? And talking in spiritual, what would you recommend them to do? Maybe to teach a Bible study? Or teach a Sunday school class? Recommended. But that comes from people who are leaders, or they're established in God. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. They're living and walking according to the Word of God. Amen? So if everyone went off on their own, you know, to do a ministry for God, you know, one here, one there, how would a church be established? And if they're a novice, where do they get their knowledge from? Who would be there to continue to teach the babies of God? Who would be looking out for their souls? I needed somebody to look out for my soul when I got the Holy Ghost. I didn't know everything within a week's time, within a year's time, within 5 years' time. When I received the Holy Spirit and I was baptized in Jesus' name, that was just the beginning, just the beginning. And then from there, you grow step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. And in studying this, you see all the letters to the churches after the book of Acts were there to establish the church by Paul, that was established by Paul and others that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Nobody went out and established the church that wasn't full of the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name, as we've studied in Acts 2:38, just like on the day of Pentecost. So I wanted to look at a little bit more about that, and then we're going to go into the testimony part again. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13. Because for God's church, a body of believers, God has it set up as a five-fold ministry. There's five callings within the ministry of God. So reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here we have five callings: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And verse 12 tells us we have these five callings for the ministry, which is for the perfecting of the saints. And this word, when I looked it up back in the original, perfecting means equipping. Equipping. These callings are in the church to equip God's people, or to train you to come into your calling. Because everyone has a calling. But how do you learn it? How do you know it if somebody doesn't teach you? Someone doesn't train you? All the callings are for the edifying of the body of Christ, which everyone here is a part of. You are part of this body of Christ. A ministry or church is established with proven leaders of God. God's not going to send a novice out to start a ministry all by themselves when they've never been taught. They may have received the Holy Spirit, been baptized in Jesus' name, but they have never been taught the Word of God. Taught by Holy Ghost-filled people who have also been baptized in Jesus' name and are walking in the Spirit. They're not novices or brand new babies, just born with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We all have to have God's salvation plan. It's part of being a Christian, Christ-like. Baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is just the beginning of being born again. Just the beginning. You don't stop there. And think about yourself. And I've thought about myself. When I was baptized and received the Holy Spirit, was I ready to go out and evangelize? Was I ready to get behind a pulpit and teach? No. I might have thought I was, because I was on fire for God and I felt invincible. I could do anything. I got the Holy Ghost. I got God in me. Nothing can stop me. I did feel that way. And I used to tell everybody, and I mean everybody I met, laundromat. That's because we didn't have a washer and dryer back then. Everyone I met, I would talk to them about God and what just happened to me. I just got the Holy Ghost. I was excited. I never heard about this all my life. And did you know that you can get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues? God comes inside of you, lives inside of you. And you know that he's there all the time. And you can have a relationship with him one-on-one. No matter where you're at or what's happening in your life, that he's there for you. I was excited. That's what's called first love. That first love took me through a lot of things in God, a lot of growing. So part of this I wanted to bring out was about baptism. When someone is baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, God's people all want to be a part of that. Some of you just testified about that. We want to be a part of that because you're sharing in God's edifying of his body of believers. God's people get excited when there's going to be a baptism, from the oldest to the youngest. Where do we gather around? We're excited, we're waiting, want to see it. Because it's a testimony. It is a testimony of God's word and the work that he is doing in this world. Not just our church, in this world. Baptism, in Jesus' name, edifies the body of Christ. But what do you do after that? Let's look at some more scriptures about to commend or to recommend others. And turn back a couple of books to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and just one scripture, verse 12. And Paul gives his testimony here, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Now, this is a testimony from Paul. And he's saying his testimony was in simplicity and godly sincerity. Now, what is simplicity? It's the opposite of duplicity. So simplicity is integrity. Integrity, honestness, openness. That's simplicity. And this is what Paul is telling the church, the Corinthian church. And godly sincerity, which we should all have in our words and our actions, as you've all said tonight. It's not just your words, it's your actions. It's not just your actions, it's your words. It's both. Paul writes that his conversation and his conduct in his life to the Corinthian people and to everyone was with simplicity or integrity and godly sincerity. And Paul could write this with confidence and a clear conscience because he did live it. It's like today, if you say, I'm a Christian, are you living it? Do your words show it? Do your actions show it? I can say the same about the leadership here in our church. Our leadership is with integrity and godly sincerity. Amen? Amen. God has made it so. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. Because along with the commending or recommending others, this is a very important part. Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Maybe you think you're recommended because you have knowledge of a sort. Maybe you went to Bible college. But always remember, it is God who commends. And just because you might confess with your mouth that you are a Christian and that you've accepted God does not mean that God has accepted you. Because how do we know? How do we know if God commends us or has accepted us? How would you know that with somebody else? How do I know that about someone who tells me they're a Christian? Well, I know that first off because their life is going to line up to the word of God. To the word of God. You'll be baptized in Jesus' name, and you will receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's how I know that God has recommended you, accepted you, just like he accepted me. After you receive the Holy Spirit, after you're baptized, then you begin living a godly life according to the Word of God. Not according to our own thoughts, our own ideas, or interpretations of God's Word. Amen? Because there's a lot of interpretations out there, but I'm reading you what the Word of God says. And you will be living a godly life if you are accepted of God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Paul recommends Timothy to the church here, and then Timothy brings the testimony to Paul about the church's progress. So reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear or endure it, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Paul, writing to a church, a body of believers that he had established, that had already received the Holy Spirit, that had already been baptized in Jesus' name, and now he's writing to them, wanting to know, how are you doing? And Timothy brings him back the testimony of this church. What did Paul do? He went and he established the church, and then he sends Timothy, because you don't have a baby born and leave them alone to fend for themselves. You can't just go out there and tell somebody, oh, yeah, now you got the Holy Ghost, and then just you never talk to them again. Or you don't bring them the Word of God. How do they learn? How do they know what the Word of God says? How do they know how to live a godly life? Who is praying for that soul? Who is there for them? Out of that fivefold ministry, a pastor, a teacher. God's people are here for one another. In the same chapter, I just want to read verse 6 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. So the testimony of Timothy to Paul about the church, it comforted Paul. And you talked about that tonight, how testimony comforts, edifies. And then Paul gave God the glory for the work that was being done there. That's how it works. When somebody gets baptized, we want to be there and give God the glory to see God's work being done. Timothy brought good news to Paul about their faith and their love. And they're remembering what Paul had taught them. They were learning and they were growing in God, just as we all have done, are continuing to do, and will do until the rapture or the catching away. It's never going to stop learning, growing in God, because God always has more to give his people through his word. So we testify by our words and actions, and you've all said that tonight. And if our lives are a testimony for Jesus, then they should be reflections of Christ as we follow in his footsteps. Amen? We should reflect God's word in our lives. We are a reflection of the word of God. Let's turn over to the scripture that Emily read in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11. Because as Emily said, I thought this was a very powerful scripture. How our testimony overcomes Satan, our words and our actions overcome Satan. And say that again. Our testimony overcomes Satan. Our words and our actions overcome Satan. Because our testimony demonstrates God's power because we are a living example of the Word of God. Now think about that for yourself. You are a living example of God's Word if you're walking in His footsteps, if you're following His word. Revelations, reading Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So it says here that the believers overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And notice the word of their testimony means these overcomers also spoke it, spoke the word verbally. Actions and words. Putting our actions and our words into our testimony. Because if you don't speak it, how will somebody hear it? They have to hear it. If you don't invite them, how will they come? Turn back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Because God's chosen hearing the word. God has chosen hearing the word to produce faith. Faith. Reading Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Pretty simple scripture. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. To give testimony of what God has done in your life, you will need to use your words and you will need to live your life according to the scriptures. Not according to what people think or feel, but according to God's word. How do you know the scriptures? By hearing them from God's teachers. That's part of that fivefold ministry, those five callings that God uses to establish and strengthen his body of believers. You'll know the scriptures by hearing them, and you'll know the scriptures by, what have we always bring across? Studying the scriptures through God's Spirit. Studying with God's Spirit. This is what Paul taught to all the churches, and it's been taught to us by our pastors and teachers, myself over 40-some years, and it will continue to be taught until the catching away of the bride, until the rapture takes place. That is what you're always going to hear from this pulpit, from the Word of God. Testimony. When you share your testimony, you showcase how God has made you more than a conqueror. There's a scripture in God's Word. I didn't look it up, but I know it's in my heart. And there's a song we sing, We Are More Than Conquerors. And I always love to hear that song. You give God honor and praise by sharing what he's done in your life. You just said that tonight in your answers. So testimony is a form of praise and honor to God. Don't we want to give that to God? And you also said that your testimony is a way to encourage others. Amen. When I hear it, I get encouraged. Some testimonies build my faith. Now that I can hear them all, I love it. Know that every time when you're going through trials and sufferings in life, and we're all going to go through them at some point or another, it's an opportunity to share a testimony of how God worked in your life and made you stronger. How did you come through it? How God was your comforter. How God gave you peace when peace, there is no way you could have it without God. I've heard this in your testimonies too. Again, testimony is not only the things that we say, it's the way we live our life. That is a testimony to unbelievers, not just to us, to people who don't know, that don't even believe. I came across this saying when I was studying, you know, I read a lot of things and then I take a lot of notes and then I condense it down. But I came across this saying, I don't know who wrote it, but I like the way it read and I want to read it for you. It says, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And that is a testimony. So never be afraid to share your testimony with others, because your testimony can encourage and inspire other people. It's not the gospel, but it can be used to draw people to the gospel, your testimonies. I always add in my conversations when I'm talking to somebody, trying to maybe invite them to church, or in my letters to encourage people, I always put in there, go to thebodyofjesus.org. Because when you need something in your life, you're looking for an answer, you can find it there in those teachings. I have to tell you that Paul's always teaching about how we need to, you know, tell others about God. We need to share the gospel message. And I do believe that, and I do that to my very best. But I had the opportunity, and it was the quickening of God's Spirit that allowed this to happen. I was on a phone call. I was on this phone call for 2 hours. 2 hours. It was about the Wi-Fi at our house. And I kept getting changed to different people. It was like one person after another, and I'd have to tell them the same information over and over and over. Now we're going on 2 hours. I was like, okay, taking deep breaths, breathing, you know, in Jesus' name. And then I got this last person, and I said, please, please do not put me on hold because the calls drop, or don't try to transfer me to somebody else because somehow they don't know who, you know, I've given all this information. I'm going on a merry-go-round here. I've been on it for 2 hours. He goes, I'm really, really sorry to hear that, you know. And I said to him, well, can you help me? He goes, I promise you, I will help you. I will stay with you till I can help you. I said, oh, that is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. You're such a, you know, I said, you just made my day. He said, wow. He says, why aren't you upset? He says, you sound so happy. And I said, well, and in the back of my mind was Paul's voice saying, you know, take that opportunity, go through that door. And so I did. And I started talking to this young man about why I was so happy, even though I really wasn't, but he thought I was, because I wasn't screaming and shouting and, you know, doing what maybe someone in the world might do. And I was just talking to him normal. And so I started witnessing to him and telling him, you know, about my life, why I felt the way I was feeling. And then I gave him our church website. And I hope you're listening. His name was Josh. And he said he was going to check it out. And I told him, you know, when you're home and you're not working and you have time, just go on there, check it out, and listen to one of the teachings. I think you would really like it. I think you will find things that you've been looking for all your life. And he said he would do that. And I have to thank God how he uses each one of us to provoke each other to do his work. And that is my testimony, that I went through a door I normally would have never gone through. So faith comes by hearing, and this person couldn't hear unless I told them. I had to open my voice and tell them. So your testimony shows people that God is in business and he's never closed. So use our testimonies, not just in church, but people that you meet, and you do testify about that. People that you go and meet in the stores, people that you work with. Continue to use your testimony because it's a very important part of God's people and what we do in our lives. So I'm going to go ahead and close this. And I want to read the next question because I don't think it's posted online for next week. And those that are of you that are online won't be able to get the hard copy question. And I want to have you have time to study it. So next week, in chapter 15, and it's going to be off of verses 1 and 2 to study those two verses. The question, it's kind of twofold, is what did the disagreement between these men from Judea and the apostles in Antioch consist of? And you can go back and listen to this. You can rewind and listen to it again, so if you want to write it down. But, and what initial steps did they take to resolve it? And then it says, please keep an eye out for how that process progresses throughout this chapter. This is a very interesting question and where we're going in the Bible study in chapter 15. So study into that because I think you're going to learn a lot from it. Just like tonight, you came, you were prepared, you gave your testimonies, and you taught what God had taught you and given you, the same that he gave to me. One mind and accord. Praise God. Let's have time for prayer.
Praise God. This altar is open for you tonight. Won't you come and receive all that God has for you and really take this opportunity to reach out to God and to ask him to put soul in your pathway this week and to give you the words that you need and the boldness that you need to reach out to them. This altar is open for you tonight. Oh, Lord, send me a fire. Make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning, set me a burning. Let me shine out for Jesus' sake. This my desire, set me a fire, make me a flame. Oh, Lord, send me a fire, make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning, set me a burning, let me shine out. For Jesus' sake, this my desire. Set me a fire, make me a flame. Oh Lord, set me a fire, make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning, set me a burning, let me shine out.
For Jesus' sake, this my desire. Set me afire, make me a flame. Oh Lord, set me afire, make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning, set me a burning, let me shine out. For Jesus' sake, this my desire. Set me a fire, make me a flame. Oh Lord, set me a fire, make me a flame for you. Millions are lost, but you paid the cost that they all might be free. Lord, I am yearning, set me a burning, let me shine out. For Jesus' sake, this my desire. Set me afire, make me a flame. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please won't you speak to me, tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please, won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please, won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please, won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please, won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, please, won't you speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. Then an echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost.